go ahead and we'll get started on tonight. We'll be coming from Romans chapter 3. And what we're doing, since we're dealing with the true understanding of the church, there'll be things that I'll be going forward into in training school, and then going back into some things in Sabbath worship, and then coming back up to the same things that we're dealing with in training school, just kind of combine them all together. And so as y'all lead me, then I'll be moving into different books. But we're going to be hovering around Acts, obviously, because that's dealing with the initial stages of the church, for lack of a better word. And then as we deal with these other books, your Romans and Galatians and so on and so forth, we will understand why certain things are written. And again, we'll be looking in Romans chapter 3. I may not deal with the whole Romans chapter 2, I believe. I may not deal with the whole portion of it, of Romans chapter 2, but I just kind of want to look at some things in there. Here's what's been the biggest issue as far as I don't want anybody to feel like I'm attacking Christians. I don't really acknowledge myself as one, simply because of an understanding that I've gotten from the perspective of Christian. The word Christian, when you look at it, it's obviously, you know, from the way that it's defined. Even when you look at it has written in the scripture, I believe there are only two references, and I could be wrong, but at this point I think it's just two, and then I pray afterwards. But there's two references whereby the word Christian is acknowledged. I think Paul did it once, and then they were first called Christians at Antioch. And when you look at these things, although Paul did identify the church at the time in reference to Christians, it was not a word that was used as something that was good to be carrying as the saints. We were acknowledged as the saints and things like that in other passages, and disciples and things. And so we were, and what I mean by we, the followers of Christ, were called Christians. It's not something that the church called themselves. We were classified. When I said we, I'm talking about the church. We were classified as such. You know, it's not something that we started going around as the disciples, our apostles and different things like that. They didn't go around saying we're Christians. Actually, we were classified as a cult, some type of sect, and we were mainly identified as such by our own nation. The Jews. When you look at the Jews, there is a word that is used to classify the nation of Israel, and so from that perspective, you kind of see that kind of added in. I can't remember the first book it was mentioned. I don't want to say Samuel or something like that, but don't quote me on that. I can go look, but I'm not going to do it. The first time the word Jew was mentioned, it just popped out of nowhere. So it may have been some type of influence that was associated with that because, you know, of some other things. But then it may not have been. I just don't know at this point. But again, that word, you know, Christian, it had negative tones associated with it. And I'm fine with that, you know, because when you do follow the Messiah of Christ, you know, there, especially when it's being done according to the way our apostles did, it's going to be controversy associated with it. And so as we're looking at these different things, the issue that has been happening with the so-called, at this point, body of Christ or the church, Christians, then you see a misunderstanding of Scripture because they look at Paul's writing and not really understand Paul. You have to understand Paul, and what I mean by understand Paul, you have to know Paul's history, you have to know who he is in order to understand why he taught the things, why he taught the way that he did. And if you don't understand Paul, you will misunderstand Paul's writing. You have to understand Paul to understand Paul's writings. You have to know something about Paul to understand his writings. And again, if you don't understand Paul, his history, his upbringing, his teaching, the tribe that he's part of, he comes from the tribe of Benjamin. So when you don't understand Paul, you will misunderstand his writing. When you don't understand the mission of Paul, how he was commissioned and what he was called to do, then you will misunderstand his writings. And that's what we're going to do it. And looking at the true understanding of the church, we're going to get a better understanding of Paul by looking at these books, mainly in Sabbath worship and then on training school. I'm just kind of stay in the vein of both, the true understanding of the church in training school and Sabbath worship. And so as we do this, you'll start to understand, okay, this is why Paul wrote things the way that he did. And again, if you don't understand Paul, like most Christians don't, then they misrepresent Paul's writing. They misrepresent his writing. And I thank God that he has us on the same page with him by the Spirit so that we won't misunderstand Paul. Okay? Let's pray. Father, y'all, we bless your name on today. And we just ask you to give us understanding. Thank you for your wisdom. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. That you have given us to teach us all things, whatsoever you said. And we just thank you for our Savior, Yehoshua, Mashiach. He is Christ the King. We glorify you for him, for sending your Son to redeem us and then giving us his Spirit to be a witness for him. And we bless you. In the name of Yehoshua, we do pray. Amen. Now, Romans chapter 2. First of all, I'm going to go in Romans chapter 1. And I want to just deal with some things in there, but I want to spend a whole lot of things in, I want to spend a whole lot of time in Romans chapter 1. And so I'll start at verse 1, Romans 1, verse 1. It says, Paul, a servant of Yeshua Mashiach. That's Jesus Christ. Christ is Mashiach. Okay. So you hear me say Mashiach, that's what I mean, Christ. Some say Messiah. And so Paul is serving of Yehoshua Mashiach, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of Yah. So Paul is acknowledging that he has been separated unto the gospel of Yah, which is Christ. That's the gospel of Yah in a nutshell, witnessing Christ. So Paul is acknowledged that he's been separated to that. You can go in, I believe it's Acts chapter 9, and you can see it when he was on his way to Damascus, and Christ himself appeared to Paul and dealt with Paul, and from that point on, Paul started to preach the gospel of the kingdom. Well, Paul is you know, he's a Pharisee, and so he's very educated from the perspective of the law. He's very educated. Actually, he came up under the teachings of a very respectable priest, and we may read about him in one of these passages. If not, we will look at him in the future, so I don't want to spend a whole lot of time talking about him. But Paul was very much educated in the law and things like that. So verse 2 says, which he had promised before for by his prophets in the Holy Scripture. Now, notice Paul now. To understand Paul, you got to see his character. You got to be able to see him. So Paul is acknowledging in verse 1 that he's separated unto. He's acknowledging that he's a servant of the Savior, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of Yah. But look at what he goes on and says, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scripture. So Paul is not only talking about Christ and that he's a servant of Christ, but he's acknowledging that the prophets and the Holy Scripture, so he's talking about the Old Testament, or was classified as the Old Testament, the law, the prophets, and the Psalms. And so he's acknowledging that the Scriptures has foretold, afore. When you look at the word afore, let's just define that word. When you look at the word afore, it means to promise of old, promise before. Okay? So he said, which he had promised, the gospel of Yah, verse 2, which he had promised before by the prophet of the Holy Scripture. So Paul is not outside the law. So you got to understand that everything that Paul is dealing with, Paul deals with it according to how he understands the law. And this is the mistake that most churches make, most preachers make, most Christians make, is they say, okay, Paul is talking, you know, Paul is preaching the gospel, and he's saying, okay, for the righteousness, we look at verse 17, for the righteousness of Yah is revealed from faith to faith, as written, the just shall live by faith. So they say, okay, we live by faith, so we don't operate according to the law. But when you look at it, verse 2, Paul is acknowledging that everything that has been separated unto, you know, he's been separated, called an apostle, separated unto the gospel, but he's referring to the prophets and the scriptures. So Paul is not outside the laws of the Most High Yah. And so because we are the church now who is following the footsteps of the original church, we cannot deal with faith and get outside the laws of Yah. The laws of the faith has to be revealed within the laws whereby our apostles has taught us. Okay, so faith has been revealed according to how Yah has taught us through the laws, and so it's very important for us to understand this fact. Now, verse 3 now said concerning his son Yehoshua Mashiach, our Jehovah, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. So he's letting us know that Christ comes through the seed of David. Okay, he comes through the seed of David. Mary is his mother. We know that the father Yah is his father, but he comes through David's lineage, because Mary is a descendant of David through you have David, and I'm trying to think of his brother's name. I'll think of it hopefully as we're moving through, and then maybe not, but we can go there. And I'm trying to think of David's brother. His son. No, it's not Johnson. I can't think of the name. Well,
Solomon's
brother. Yeah, it was Solomon's brother, but I can't remember his name at this point. And so Mary is his. Maybe I can go to Matthew chapter. Not Matthew, but Luke. And just play that for a bit if you can. I'll just keep moving on. Almost called the name. But it says concerning his son Yehoshua, verse 3, concerning his son Yehoshua Mashiach, our Jehovah, according which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. Then it says, verse 4, declared to be the Son of Yah with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we receive grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. Verse 6 now. Among whom are ye also called of Yehoshua Mashiach? To all that be in Rome. Now, when he's saying to all that be in Rome, we're going to find out who he's talking to, because it's vitally important for us to understand who Paul is talking to be able to understand chapter 2. It says, to all that be in Rome, beloved of Yah, called saints. So you see clearly that, you know, we were mainly classified as saints. He's a grace to you and peace from Yah our Father and from Jehovah Yeshua Mashiach. Verse 8. First I thank my Yah through Yehoshua Mashiach for all of you that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For Yah is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I made mention of you always in my prayer. Verse 10 said, making requests, if by any means now, at length, that I might have a prosperous journey by the will of Yah to come unto you. When you look at verse 10, that's what prosperity is. So you will get now, Christianity will teach that prosperity has to do with material wealth. But when you look at the biblical meaning of prosperity, it is reference to your journey. In other words, whatever path you're on, Yah blesses that path, and through that it is classified as prosperity. So prosperity is not just a money issue or a wealth, you know, issue or material possession issue. The Bible said that that Joseph was a prosperous man because Yah was with him. You look at that.
Excuse me, Pastor Boyce.
Yes.
Where are you at? I'm sorry, I lost you.
I'm in Romans chapter 1. Verse 10. Did you find it?
It's Nathan.
Nathan, that's correct. Yeah, Nathan. So when you look at him, we'll go back up since we have that, because you have Jonathan and Nathan, right? I mean, not Jonathan, Nathan and Solomon. And so when you look at it here, it says in verse 3 now concerning his son, Yehoshua Mashiach, our Jehovah, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. Nathan is the lineage by which Mary came from. Okay? Joseph, who was the so-called father, I say it that way, because we know Yah is Christ's true father, but yet Joseph he was the husband of Mary, so he's classified to a certain perspective as the father of our Savior. But the true father is obviously Yah. And so when you look at that lineage, or David's lineage, you have Joseph now, who descends from that kingly line of David through Solomon. And you have Nathan now, who is not of that kingly line, but Mary came through Nathan. And so that's why Christ is still classified as the seed of David, because Mary is from the seed of David, and also Joseph was from the seed of David. So I just wanted to explain that. So that what makes him be able to be considered the seed of David. Okay. Now, verse 9 says, "For Yah is my witness." No, verse 10. That's what we love. It says, "Making requests if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of Yah to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual things, some spiritual gifts, to the end ye may be established." I want to skip it. I'm trying to get to a specific verse. I'm just taking the time. Verse 12 says, "That is, that I might be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me." Verse 13. "Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. So it lets us know that he's dealing with some Gentiles. He's letting you know that he's dealing with Gentiles. He said, even among other Gentiles. So we know that he's dealing with Gentiles. Okay. Now, verse 14, he says, I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and the unwise. Verse 15, so as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. Verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, the gospel of the Messiah, for it is the power of Yah unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, the nation of Israel, and also the Greek. So Paul now is dealing with Gentiles. But at the same time, when you look at things he's dealing with Gentiles, but there are cities where you have the Jews that are in these different cities too, and so you have to see who Paul. You have to understand who Paul is sent to. But at the same time, we have to realize that Paul is dealing with Jews also, and he makes it clear according to the gospel of Christ, fitting things in its proper order. So when you look at verse 6, when he says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of Yah unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Now remember, he's mentioning it to Jews. I mean, he's talking specifically in verse 13 to Gentiles, but he keeps everything in its proper order. He said, yeah, salvation is available to everyone that believes, but you got to understand there's a rank. The Jew first, the nation of Israel first, then also the Greek. Why? Because he tells them in verse 14, I am a debtor both to the Greeks. You go back up to verse 13, you understand the Greeks are Gentiles. Okay? At least a certain perspective, because you do have the nation of Israel that's also in these areas. Okay? Now, verse 16 again, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of Yah to salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first in rank. That's what it means. Okay, first in rank, first in order, because the gospel was first brought to the nation of Israel. That's why when you go back to Matthew in the gospel, so to speak, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you will see him specifically dealing with the nation of Israel. So, you know, I like putting it this way: when you start to truly deal with the scriptures. Yeah, we can go look at all the scriptures, but you have to understand Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is dealing with the nation of Israel. When you start to deal with the Gentiles, you start having to go to the book of Acts and Romans and different things like that when you're dealing with the Gentiles. So you can't just jump into John 3:16 and start to use those passages to specifically deal with the Gentiles. Because you have to understand within its meaning, although John 3:16, for Yah so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life, he's dealing with things specifically as far as the nation of Israel first, then all other nations. So when you read the Gospels, you have to understand that he's talking to the nation of Israel. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he's talking to Israel. He's not dealing with Gentiles. That's why he tells them in Matthew 10, verse 5, he says, don't go to the Gentile. Salvation is for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That's why he initially sent the apostles, or who were classified as the disciples at the time, to the nation of Israel. He had no concerns for the Gentiles because he was trying to reach the nation of Israel first. But you can look at other passages, I believe in John, and see that there were Gentiles who did come to Christ, because the disciples would tell him, okay, these Gentiles are asking for you, okay? So, but Christ's mission was, he was sent to deal with the nation of Israel, and as you see, the apostles from there would go to the Gentiles to carry that message to all nations, to fulfill what the prophets and the prophets and the law said in reference to Christ being the ensign or the rallying post where all nations will see, both the nation of Israel as well as the Gentiles. Okay, so verse 16 again, he says, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of Yah unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first in rank, first in order, and also the Greek." Okay, doesn't mean that salvation, that when it comes to salvation, it is available for everyone that believeth. But then he starts to give a rank. He starts to keep the focal point on the nation of Israel. So Paul himself never put the church before the nation of Israel. You have to understand that about Paul, because when you listen to Christians or most Christians talk, they will say, well, the church has replaced Israel. The church is spiritual Israel. No, Paul keeps it in order. He keeps it in its proper rank. As he's talking to the Gentile church, he's saying to the church, I'll just say the church. As he's talking to the church, he says, salvation is to everyone that believes it, to the Jew first, then also the Greek or the Gentile. Then in verse 17, he says, for therein is the righteousness of Yah revealed from faith to faith. And it is written, the just shall live by faith. Now, with that understanding, we're moving to chapter 2, where I want to be, because, man, it's hard for me to do it, but I'm going to have to do it for the sake of time. And we'll come back to Romans and deal with it more detail some other time. As you look at Romans chapter 2, he's dealing with a specific people now. And I didn't want to read all of Romans chapter 1, because in Romans chapter 1, we just pointed out, he's speaking some things to the Gentiles, but there are Jews, and I'm going to just say Jews for the sake of the reading the passage. It's the nation of Israel. The nation of Israel is in these cities. Yeah, Paul is talking to Gentiles. Paul is sent to Gentiles. But the nation of Israel is always in these cities when you read it. And so Paul is dealing with the Gentiles, but he uses the nation of Israel as examples to teach the message of the kingdom through faith to the Gentiles. That's what the church don't understand. The church read Paul's writings, and they think that Paul is specifically talking to the church. He is, but at the same time, they look at it that he's totally neglecting the nation of Israel and dealing with them in reference to faith and all these different things like that. So when you look in chapter 1, Romans chapter 2, verse 1, he starts to deal with the nation of Israel. Okay? But you would have to look at all of chapter 1 to start to see this pattern. But we'll see it as we go through these verses and passages in chapter 2. Verse 1 says, he said, therefore thou art inexcusable, O man. Who's he talking about when he said, O man? We'll let the scriptures tell us. Although we can go into chapter 1, I'm just going to stay in chapter 2 and we'll still see it. He said, therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doest the same thing. But we are sure that the judgment of Yah is according to truth against them that commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man. You're going to see who that man is, that old man. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judges them which do such thing. You go back up in the chapter. Let me just go back up in the chapter 1 just for a minute to show you what he's talking about in such things. Okay? When you look at such things, he's talking about being filled with unrighteousness, verse 29. Romans 1, verse 29. Being filled with unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of Yah, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. So he's using these passages. I just go and stay with verse 32. Who knoweth the judgments of Yah, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. So he's saying to these Gentiles that there is a people who understand these judgments, but yet they still do it. Okay? So he says, so you have to keep that. You have to keep that focal point. When you go into chapter 2, you'll start to see who that old man is. That old man in chapter 2 is someone who understands the judgments of Yah, but yet they do the same thing by which they condemn those that don't understand. Okay? Now, as we get into chapter 2, now we'll start to see. He said, therefore thou art inexcusable, old man. Paul is wise. So Paul know how to deal with the Gentiles, and he also know how to deal with the nation of Israel. And you have to realize that the nation of Israel was constantly wanting to kill Paul. Matter of fact, our disciples, our apostles were always having issues with our nation because they was preaching the gospel of Christ, and our nation wanted to just stick with the law, and they didn't want to accept Christ, although the scripture pointed out in the law and the prophet what Christ would be like, and he fulfilled everything to the letter, but yet they still didn't want to accept it. Okay? So Paul is being a wise man, talking to the Gentiles, but he's speaking into the ears of the nation of Israel, but he's calling them old man. So he says, again, you who now have an understanding, according to Romans chapter 1, to make judgment, you do the same thing that you turn around and try to judge these Gentiles on. But I'm not going to just call you out. I'm going to just speak in general and just call it an old man, Israel. Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest do the same thing. Now that confirms what Matthew 7 said. He said first, when the Savior was talking, he said, thou hypocrite, first get the beam out of your own eye. Then you can see clearly judgment on how to get the splinter out of your brother's eye. He starts out in Matthew 7, verse 1, judge not yet, lest ye be judged. Well, we're looking at the same thing in Romans 2, where he's saying, you have the understanding of the law, and yet you judge people according to the law, but you're doing the same thing. You're doing the same thing that they're doing, and you understand the law. We'll see it as we deal with these passages now. Verse 2, he said, but we are sure that the judgment of Yah is according to truth against them which commit such things. And we understand what those such things were because we just read them in chapter 1. Okay. Now, verse 3, he says, and thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things and doeth the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of Yah? Okay, Israel, you think because you understand the law, statutes, and the judgments of Yah, that you can now judge Gentiles, and then you doing the same thing as the Gentiles think that because you're Israel, that you get to escape the judgment? That's what he's saying here. You can't escape the judgment because you now have been given the law, statutes, and the judgment of Yah. You can't do the same stuff that Gentiles do and then think that, you know, everything's going to be fine with you because you were the name tag Israel. What he's saying? Verse 4, he says, or despisest thou the richness of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of Yah leadeth thee unto repentance. Yah was good enough to you to give you the laws and statutes and judgments, and then you now not realizing or operating or you despise that goodness. You have the knowledge. Yah was good to us as a nation. We had the knowledge, and then, you know, we decided that we despised as a nation. So that old man he's talking to is the nation of Israel that's sitting in amongst Gentiles. Verse 4, he says, or despisest thou the richness of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of Yah leadeth thee, O man, to repentance. Now, the Gentiles are hearing this, so obviously they're included. But Paul is wise as he's dealing with Gentiles. He's also preaching to the nation of Israel. Paul did this throughout his entire writings, pretty much. Verse 5, but after thy hardness, we were stiff-necked group of people. But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, okay, treasures up until thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of Yah. Verse 6, who will render to every man according to his deeds? Verse 7, to them whom by patience, continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil. The Jew first. You're like, okay, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Romans 1 and 16. For there's the power of God to salvation to everyone that believes it. The Jew first, then the Greek. Jew first, then the Gentile. Then he turns right around and says, okay, verse 9, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil. Jew, you too. He's telling that old man, you don't be excused because you have the law. Okay? Everyone that doeth evil, whether you are of the house of Israel or whether you are a Gentile, evil or tribulation and anguish upon every soul or indignation and wrath upon every soul, verse 8 and 9, that doeth evil, the Jew first and also the Gentile. Okay? And that's how you understand it, the reason why Yah judged our nation, because we were not excused, because we were the nation of Israel, because we were Yah's chosen people. He judged unrighteousness the same way with us as he do with any other nation. That's why verse 11 says, for there is no respecter of persons. There is no respecter of persons with Yah. Yah said, if you're righteous, I'll accept you as righteous. If you're unrighteous, I will bring my wrath upon you as the unrighteous. Whether you're a Jew first or a Gentile. Okay? Verse 12 now. For as many as have sinned without the law shall also perish without law. And as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. See, what I like about this verse here in 12, Paul is dealing with both the nation of Israel as well as the Gentiles, and so he's not letting anybody get be excused. He's saying, nation of Israel, you have the law, and if you don't obey it, then you are operating in sin. Verse 12 again, for as many as have sinned without the law, Gentiles, you didn't have the law given to you. You don't understand it. But if you still sin, although you don't understand the law, if you're operating in sin without the law, then you shall be judged according to your sin. Nation of Israel, you having the law now, operating in sin, you shall be judged according to it. Verse 12, for as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law. And as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. Is Paul saying do away with the law? No. He's making it clear who is responsible for what they have. Gentiles, you don't have the law, so you will not be judged according to the law. Nation of Israel, you have the law, so you will be judged according to what you have. So when he tells our nation certain things to do and not do according to the law, then according to that, that's how we'll be judged according to the law that we have. The same way as the Gentile will be judged according to the sin that they have, although it is not from the perspective of the law. Verse 13. Verse 13 says, "For not the hearer of the law are for not the hearers of the law are just before Yah, but the doers of the law shall be justified." So when you look at what he's saying here, it comes from verse 12, entered into verse 13, and then flows down into verse 14. "For when the Gentiles which have not the law do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves." I'll put it to you like this. See, when Yah gave the law to our nation, contained in our law was written, "Thou shalt not kill." Gentiles didn't have that law. But what the scripture is saying here is verse 14, "For when the Gentiles which have not the thou shalt not kill do by nature the things contained in the law," because they have a moral and righteous value, although they were not given the law, they have a moral righteous value and refuse to kill, then they are operating according to the law without the knowledge of law. Yah said that's a law unto themselves. A moral, in other words, to keep it simple, even the Gentiles have a moral and righteous nature who follow Christ, although they do not have to follow the law. In other words, the law was not given to them to follow. Because they have a righteous nature in them, there are things that's contained in the law whereby they obey. Verse 14, "For when the Gentiles which have not the law do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their heart, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts, the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another." Verse 16, "In the day when Yah shall judge the secret of men by Yahushua Mashiach according to the gospel." Then he look at it, show it clear now, there are Jews and Gentiles now. Now he's saying now if you have Gentiles now who don't understand the law, but at the same time because they have moral values, because they are connected to Yah through righteousness, then there are certain things that they'll do because they're conscious of the things of Yah. So it lets me know this. Everyone who truly seeks Yah will have the knowledge of the law, whether they're aware of it or not. But then he tells the nation of Israel, verse 17 now, "Behold, thou art called a Jew, and rested in the law, and makest thy boast of Yah," verse 18, "and knoweth his will." See, now he goes up and he's dealing with that old man. You judge, you have the law, you understand everything according to the law. Verse 17, "Behold, thou art called a Jew and rested in the law, and maketh thy boast of Yah, and knoweth his will, and approveth the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law." Okay? Gentiles are not instructed out of the law. They don't know. But they have a moral value associated with them. But then he says now to the nation of Israel, now you understand everything about the law. You rest in the law, okay? Verse 18, "and knoweth his will and approveth the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law, and art confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, a light to them which are in darkness." Now you understand why he's talking about that old man, that they're inexcusable. He said, you should be instructing these people. That's what Paul is saying to the nation of Israel. He's not telling them to abandon the law. He's telling them, because you understand the law, you should be instructing those who are in darkness. But yet the church has said the law has been done away with. Paul is not saying that at all. Paul is encouraging the nation of Israel, who are amongst the Gentiles, that they should be teaching them according to the law. Verse 19, and art confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, a light of them which are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which has the form of knowledge and of the truth in the law. Thou therefore which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself. Thou that preachest a man should not steal, doest thou steal? He's telling our nation, and that's why the Jews, the nation of Israel, always got mad with Paul, because Paul was always in front of the Gentiles telling them, here you have all the instructions. You know what to do. And you turn around, you know, different than these Gentiles. Verse 21, thou therefore which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself. Thou that preachest a man should not steal, doest thou steal? Thou that saith a man should not commit adultery, all these in the law. That's what our nation was doing to these Gentiles who was a part of the church. They were teaching them the law, and Paul was saying, you teaching them this stuff, but you don't do it yourself. You teach them not to steal, and yet you're a thief. You teach them not to commit adultery, but yet that's what you do. Verse 22, thou that saith a man should not commit adultery, doest thou commit adultery? Adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, sacrilege? Here we are, even bringing up today, we are saying, we know that we are the nation of Israel. We know that the laws were given to us, but yet we're doing the same thing as we're trying to condemn and tell other people not to do. He said, you tell them not to do idol worshiping, but yet you turn around and do it yourself. You try to point out their faults in other facets of idolatry, but then you stand up there and put presents on that tree just like the rest of them. You tell them on one hand to avoid idolatry, and then you turn around on the other hand and commit idolatry just like they are. When you should be teaching them, you do the same stuff. And I've been running into a whole lot of people that have been saying here lately, well, you know, I got a phone call from an individual, I want to just call the name, a phone call from an individual that was basically saying in a nutshell that they have been, these people have been reading some of the things that I had written. And they were saying that they understand it and that they receive who we are as a nation of people, but in order to keep harmony in the house, they still want to commit adultery and put up the Christmas tree and all these things. They come to the knowledge of the law. They come to the knowledge of who we are as a people. But they still want to compromise with the things of the world or of this of the Gentiles, the heathen. They still want to compromise with the things of the heathen and still want to say, well, you know, don't do this other stuff right here. But then we do the same thing that you do as far as these other things are concerned. That's what he's saying to our nation. He said, thou that saith a man should not commit adultery, doest thou commit adultery? Verse 22. Thou that abhorrest idols, doest thou commit sacrilege? Do you do sacrifices to idols? Do you know that you're Israel, nation? Do you know that you're Israel, and then you still turn around and get in other cities and you do what everybody else do? Or do you teach them? What Paul is saying, you understand it. Do you teach them, or do you compromise? Verse 23, thou that makest the boast of the law, through breaking the law dishonorest thou Yah. Yah said, when we do these different things, we're dishonoring Yah. He said, when you know the truth, you understand the law by which you're supposed to operate as a nation of people, and you know that there are things that the Gentiles are doing that is idolatry, that is all these other things, instead of teaching them, you compromise. And when you compromise, Yah says, you dishonoreth him. Verse 23, thou that makest the boast of the law, thou shalt not. Thou shalt not. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not do. And then Yah said, then you turn around and do the same thing that you're preaching that a person shouldn't do. Yah said, you're dishonoring me. Okay. Verse 24. For the name of Yah is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, Israel, O man. Verse 1. And you understand why Israel hated Paul. The majority of them. Our nation couldn't stand Paul because Paul dealt with them right where they were. So that old man lets us know that he's talking. He's not talking to Gentiles. He's talking to the nation of Israel, who was in the presence of these Gentiles. He said, "For the name of Yah is blasphemed among the Gentiles to you, and it is written." This is written in the scriptures now. As is written, for circumcision verily profited. He's talking to Israel. Circumcision lets you know he's talking to the nation of Israel. For circumcision verily profited, if thou keep the law. But if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision. So what he's saying in verse 25, he said, if you are of the nation of Israel, and a symbol that you are operating with the law, within the law, that you are circumcised. Men, if thou keep, for circumcision very probably, in other words, this profits you, nation of Israel. He said, but then if you break the law, your circumcision don't mean nothing. It's just like you're not circumcised. Because uncircumcision for an Israelite, uncircumcision for an Israelite meant that they had no covenant with Yah. That's what the difference was. Circumcision means you had a covenant with Yah. Uncircumcision meant you didn't have a covenant with Yah. That's why he says, verse 25, for circumcision verily profiteth, if thou keep the law. It's a benefit if you keep it. It's a benefit if you're the nation of Israel. Let me tell you, just make it plain. It's a benefit if you're an Israelite and keep the law. But if you be an Israelite and you break it, you're no different than somebody who doesn't have a covenant with Yah. That's what he's saying. But if you are a nation of Israel and you operate within the guidelines by which you've been called to do, he said, oh, it's a benefit being a child of the house of Israel. It does have its advantages. But if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision. You have no benefit, Israel, if you break the law. It's a profit if you obey it. But if you break it, there's no profit. You're no different from anybody else. You're down on the streets just like anybody else if you break the laws by which I established you as a nation of people. Verse 26, therefore, if the uncircumcision keep the righteousness of the law, shall not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision? If a now uncircumcised man now keep the righteousness of the law, he may be ignorant to some things in reference to it. But if he's keeping it, if there are some things going on in his heart that establish him as righteous, Yah said, well, shall he not be counted as equal with the nation of Israel? Now, verse 26, therefore, if the uncircumcision keep the righteousness of the law, shall not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision? It's not saying he's of the house of Israel. It's saying he's equal. Okay? It doesn't make him a Jew now because he so to speak, he can call Abraham his father still, but there's still a distinction between a Gentile and a Jew. A Gentile is somebody who is not of the house of Israel through bloodline. But this is from a perspective of righteousness. When you're dealing with righteousness, Yah said, it doesn't matter who you are. If you obey it, then you are the righteous. If you disobey it, you are the unrighteous. I don't care if you're Israel by bloodline, you're still unrighteous because you don't obey the righteousness of the law and everything else that's associated with Yah. Verse 27. And shall not uncircumcision, which is by nature. So who is that talking to? Gentile. Uncircumcision by nature is someone, because when you look at nature, let's just deal with the word nature, just to show us. Verse 27. Uncircumcision, which is by nature, okay, lineage, lineal descent, native disposition. So it's letting you know where you are born, okay? So he's pointing out now, verse 27, and shall not uncircumcision, which is by nature, if you're born uncircumcised, in other words, if your lineage is a Gentile, if it fulfill the law, judge thee, who by the letter and circumcision doest transgress the law. He said, now, if you have a Gentile who don't understand the law, but yet they are operating within the moral values of that law, they're going to judge you because you, nation of Israel, who by the letter and circumcision, you break it. So it is a manifestation, to you that now the Gentile is judging you because they're operating in righteousness, but yet you understanding all the laws and the statutes and the judgment of Yah don't do it. So through their obedience, being ignorant of those laws, they judge you instead of you judging them. Remember, because that old man, you was judging them, trying to tell them what was wrong with them. But you have all the rules and the instructions of the law. And they now, being justified by faith, having moral values to follow things in the law, although they don't understand it, they condemn you because they doing it, not having knowledge of it. And you have knowledge of all of it, and yet you refuse to do any of it. What is saying, verse 27? And shall not uncircumcision, shall not the Gentile judge you if it fulfill the law? Shall not the Gentile, if it is doing things according to the law, although they may not know the law, should they judge you who know the law and not doing it? It makes it clear that there's something going on with them that's right, that makes them say, I can't kill somebody. I can't just go around, thou shalt not kill. I'm not just going to go around killing people. But yet here, who we are, the nation of Israel, and Paul is pointing out the nation of Israel. Here you are, Israel, and you're looking to try to kill me on every hand. And you have the law. And here you have Gentiles who just want to receive the gospel and be counted among us, but they don't have a clue about the law. Their righteousness is a judgment against you. And you are understanding everything about the law, but you're trying to figure out all these loopholes on how to kill me. Just giving an example of that from all the stuff that I know that they tried to do to me. Now, so as we look at this now, who is he mainly dealing with in this passage? He's talking to the Gentiles. He's preaching to the Gentiles, but he's dealing with the nation of Israel. So when you get to verse 28, he's still talking to the nation of Israel. He said, for he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision, which is outward, in the flesh. Read it again. For he is not a Jew. So this is specifically classifying a Jew. It is specifically classified an Israelite. This particular verse is not, verse 28 and verse 29 is not talking to Gentiles. He's talking to the nation of Israel. So you have Christians that will say, you are a Jew if you're classified as a Jew inwardly from your heart. So they'll try to tell Gentiles that they're Jews if their heart is righteous inwardly. That's not what they're saying. He's talking to the nation of Israel. He's not talking to Jews. Okay? Verse 28, for he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly circumcised. neither is that circumcision, which is outwardly in the flesh. You're not a Jew because you are a Jew by bloodline, and you've been circumcised to show that you are a Jew. He said, but you are a Jew, verse 29, which is one inwardly and circumcised of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, who prays is not of men, but of Yah. He was telling the Jews, you're not a Jew just because you got circumcised and you come from the descendants of the Jews. He said, you are a Jew when your heart has been circumcised. That's why throughout the scripture, our nation was being dealt with as a people whose heart had turned from Yah. So Yah said, I don't acknowledge you as a nation of Israel just because you were born an Israelite. So verse 28 and verse 29, he's specifically telling the Jew, tearing down their doctrine of thinking that they were the cream of the crop, so to speak, all because they had the law and they were circumcised and they had all of the pedigree to show that they were Jews. Paul said, no, you're not one just because you operate according to the outward appearances of one. Verse 28 again, then I'm getting ready to close. For he is not a Jew. It's not talking to Gentiles. He's talking specifically to the Jews. He's talking specifically to the nation of Israel. But he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly. Paul said, you think you're something because you're a Jew? You're not a Jew just because you were born one. And circumcision is that which is one outwardly. Neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh. He said, boy, you're not a Jew because you're born in the house of Israel and you've been circumcised. You're not a Jew. He said, but you are a Jew, which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of Yah. He just revealed to them that there is a remnant of the nation of Israel who will come out of the Jews, the nation of Israel. He said there's a remnant that's going to come up out of Israel. Not all Israel is going to be saved. Why? Because they're not saved just because they have been circumcised, and that's what he's telling our nation. You're not saved just because you've been circumcised and because you're born in the house of Israel. You don't get to just experience righteousness just because you have that pedigree. But there's something that has to take place with your mind. Verse 29, but he is a Jew, which is one inwardly. You are a Jew by nature, but at the same time, it is manifested as that when you are one inwardly, and the circumcision is that of the heart in spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of Yah. That's why when you go into the next chapter, it says, what advantage then has the Jews? Romans 3, verse 1. And I'm going to stop. I'm going to stop. I'm not going far after this. That's why he said, what advantage then has a Jew? Well, Jew, since you are circumcised and since you are born of the house of Israel, what advantage do you have then? What profit is there of circumcision? That lets us know he's talking to the nation of Israel. What advantage then has a Jew? Or what profit is there of circumcision? What advantage is it then? Much in every way. I told you we have an advantage. Chiefly because unto them were committed the oracles of Yah. That is our advantage. We as a nation have been given the oracles of Yah. But verse 3 goes on to say it. Makes it clear. For what if some did not believe? Shall our unbelief make the faith of Yah without effect? No, down to verse 4, Yah forbid. No, let Yah be true, but every man a liar, as it is written. that thou mightest be justified in thy saying, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. Verse 5. But if our unrighteousness commend the righteousness of Yah, what shall we say? Is Yah unrighteous who taketh vengeance? I speak as a man. Yah forbid. For then how shall Yah judge the world? Verse 7. For if the truth of Yah has more abounded through my lie unto his glory, why yet am I also judged as a sinner? Verse 8. I'm trying to keep from dealing with all of this. I'm going to stop at verse 9. And not rather as we be slanderously reported, as some affirm that we are, that we say, let us do evil, that good may come, whose damnation is just. What then? Are we better than they? He's talking to Jews. What then? Are we better than they? No, and no why. For we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. And it is written, verse 10, I'm stopping there. There is none righteous, no, not one. Okay? So as you see this here, he's talking to Gentiles, but he's dealing with the nation of Israel. And we'll see that throughout all of Paul's writing. It's just that we have to be able to understand. So when you're reading these books from now on, understand who he's talking to is vitally important. Because if you don't, you think he's telling Gentiles certain things. In reality, when he's telling the nation of Israel certain things, you think that he may be telling the nation of Israel certain things, when in reality, he's talking to the Gentiles. We have to be able to distinguish those things. Because if we don't, I'm going to go back up and get ready to close. Because if we don't, we'll think that he's saying this in Romans 2, verse 28. We'll think he's saying this. For he is a Jew, talking to both Gentile and Jew. We'll think he's talking about a classification that anybody can be classified a Jew. For he is a Jew, for he is not a Jew, which is one abstinent. Neither is that circumcision, which is outwardly of the flesh. Now, verse 29, you get the church says nowadays, will say that verse 29 is speaking to Gentile and Jew. No, he's talking to the nation of Israel. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of Yah. We have to clearly understand that Paul always distinguished between a Jew and a Gentile. But when he talk about righteousness, he said there is no difference. You don't have an advantage because you are a Jew. You don't have an advantage over the Gentile because you are a Jew. Paul never told the church that they were Jews inwardly. He told the Jews what they were not if it wasn't inwardly. Did y'all hear what I just said? Paul never told the Gentiles that they were Jews. What he did do was tell the Gentiles what they were not if it wasn't from the inside. You're not righteous if it's not from the inside. This is about righteousness. This is not about pedigree. So you're not righteous if it's not from the inside, Jew. You don't become righteous because you're a Jew. You don't have advantages because you are a Jew if you're not going to operate in righteousness. But if you are a Jew now who operates in righteousness, you got an advantage. You are the Jew first, then the Greek. Verse 28 and 29, I close. For he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outwardly in the flesh, colon. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of Yah. He makes a distinction here, and he makes it clear as he deal with all these passages here, going all the way down to verse 29, as he's pointing out how the Gentile is established in their righteousness, not having a law. Then he points out how the Jews should have been a teacher to the Gentiles in reference to the law, but wouldn't. They were doing the same thing. So he says, since you're doing the same thing as they are, Jew, you're no different from a Gentile when it comes down to unrighteousness. But you being a Jew now, if you become righteous from the inwardly perspective, the mind, the heart, the mind, then it puts you in a position where both of you, Gentile, who obey the law, not knowing or having access to the law, it makes you now operate in righteousness just like they are, because you obey the law and you have the law. It is a mindset, okay? It is a mindset that establishes the righteousness, not a pedigree. So it doesn't matter if you're Gentile or Jew. We're all righteous because we follow Yah's law, statutes, and judgments according to that righteousness. We're all unrighteous as we disobey it. There's no difference. That's why he says in Romans 3, what advantage does a Jew have? Much in every way, we were given the oracles of Yah. Okay? So now when you look at Romans chapter 2, we can't now start to say that the church is spiritual Israel, that the church is the Jew, based upon the misrepresentation of this passage. As we look again from Romans 1, he is dealing with both groups of people. And he's separating the two. And he's specifically dealing with the nation of Israel from a perspective of their self-centeredness and thinking that they were righteous because they were the nation of Israel and operated to certain perspective according to the law. Okay, and so we'll look at other passages, and we'll come back to Romans 2 and 3 again, and I'll tie all that together to show you that he dealt with the Jews or the nation of Israel throughout all of his writing. And as you continue to read these other passages, you'll see that they got angry at him, and at times they wanted to kill him because Paul said these things. We'll look at some things later. I'm going to get a little ahead of myself. We'll look at some things later in our lesson whereby the apostles are going to deal with Paul because of these writings. Rumor has it that Paul was telling the nation of Israel that they didn't have to obey the law. From this kind of stuff here, when Paul talked like this, some of our nation who were wicked was going back saying, he teaches our nation that we don't have to obey the law. Paul did no such thing. Paul just showed it was no advantage to having the law if you wasn't going to obey it. Okay? Any questions or comments?
I have a question.
Go ahead.
When it says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, mm-hmm. not one.
It's in chapter 3?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Verse 10?
Yes. Explain it.
That's in Psalms. Anytime you read the scripture where it says it is written, you can find it in the scripture. And so, as he said, that is written, there's, I'll reference it. Let me do a cross reference so I won't be lazy. Song. I knew it was in Song. That's just going to be one. Let me go back. Psalms 14, 1 and 3, and Psalms 53 and 1. So anytime you hear say that is written, see, Paul is teaching the law. Psalms is the law. Remember, we dealt with that last week. So as you as written, there is righteous, no, not one. Psalms 14, verse 1 through 3 says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no Yah. They are corrupt. They have done abominable work. There is none that doeth good. Okay? Verse 2 says, Jehovah looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek him. They are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. That's where that's written in Psalms. In the book of Psalms. So Paul referenced the book of Psalms in verse 10. Also, Psalms 53, verse 1, it says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no Yah. Corrupt are they and have done abominable iniquity. There is none that doeth good. So when he says it's written, that's what he's referring to. He's referring to the law. Psalms is the law. Okay? And so that, and so, so when you look at, when you look at Psalms, Psalms is talking about our nation. So it lets you know from that perspective. When you look at verse 9, he says, "What then are they? Are we better than they? Are we Israelites? Are we Jews better than they? Are we Jews better than the Gentiles? No. And no, why? For we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they all are under sin. Because David said in Psalms concerning our nation, there's none righteous, no, not one. Because our whole nation went astray." Okay? And so he used the law to teach the Gentiles as well as the nation of Israel, even in his day, all the way up to our day, that we as a nation of people operate in wickedness. We don't want to obey the statutes, judgment, and laws of our Yah that was given to our nation. Okay? Anything else? Did that answer it? Okay. All right. Yeah, I knew it was a sign. I'm just going to remember which book. All right. Okay, that's all I have. Any other questions or comments? Okay, so last thing before I close. Remember now, pay close attention when you read all scriptures now. Know who's being talked. Know who they're talking to. You have to go other chapters. Don't just start anywhere and read. Know who he's talking to. And as you read chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3 of Romans, because the book of Romans really starts to deal with sin and how people are declared righteous and different things like that. We have to stay within the meaning and know how he's dealing with this and that he's not throwing the nation of Israel away to try to establish the church as something that has replaced Israel, like you have Christians teach. We have to stay within the right perspective of what's written. Okay. All right. Again, we all good? Okay, we'll go ahead and close. Father, Yah, we bless your name on today, and we thank you for just another facet of understanding. We just ask you to continue to lead and guide us to all truth. And we even just thank you that you give us the wisdom to know that as we come into more and more understanding, that we'll make adjustments as they become necessary. And we bless you in the name of Yahushua, we do pray. Amen.
Good night.